To Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday, May 19th. Richie, how's your weekend been?
Good, man. Just been parked on the couch all weekend watching the PGA Championship. Little disappointed in Brooks. He had a great Thursday, great Friday. Saturday took him out of it. Had another really good day today. But yeah, I'm excited to catch these final six, seven holes or so when we finish up here.
At least he stayed out of jail. So a joke for another time, though. Yeah, I've been a good weekend. Today's my little guy's birthday, so I'll do a shout out at the very beginning. Shout out my little guy Lincoln, turned two today. Shout out to us, man. He's been quite the handful for the last 2 years. So shout out to us for making it for that long. So, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe. Actually, all three locations, 2870 Appalachian Parkway. They're in Tallahassee. My guy in Tally also has location in Thomasville. He's got other stores as well that are close to Tallahassee. He's got some other ones going in soon too. So if you're anywhere near a Guthrie's, especially if you're in Tallahassee or a surrounding location, make sure that you're stopping by and supporting Double Fries, No Slaw, and Guthrie's. We appreciate them for their support. Another quick shout out. I literally just walked in the door when we started this podcast from hanging out for about 20 minutes with Mike Norvell. There was a quick little media session here in Tampa and got to ask him some questions. Nothing that we'll go into on this podcast, but we will do some content around it over on the YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed there, go check it out. The end of the booster tour feels like it's a marathon and everybody's already asked a billion questions and you're just trying to they always end it in Tampa because they have a big golf tournament tomorrow. And so you're trying to be creative with asking questions and you realize that you're just asking what everybody else has asked a million different times in a new way. But I did ask him about the recruiting calendar. I did ask about the snub again, and a few other things. So check out the YouTube channel and we'll talk about a little bit of that this week. Richie, let's jump right into it. Spring meetings this week in Amelia Island. I don't think anything earth-shattering came out of them. I don't think anything was just oh my gosh, this bombshell, report. There's a report from Brett McMurphy that said the ACC has zero incentive to settle, really doesn't care to settle at all. I've got some thoughts on that. Alford basically was asked if the marriage between Florida State and the ACC could be salvaged, and he didn't really mince words. He didn't answer it directly, I will say that, but he pretty much just said hey, man, we got to do what's best for Florida State and our athletes, and we'll see what happens there. So, I think if he'd have said anything, man, we're going to try our best. We'd love to stay here. It was, now we got to do what's best for us. It's you, not me, was his message back. And then, I'm just kind of spouting off quotes at this point. But Jim Phillips was asked, simple questions and just gave stupid answers. Again, I don't necessarily think he's a bad guy, but just – he was given an impossible situation to try and take over. He was asked about why some teams joined the conference in July, some teams joined the conference in August, and he basically just said, I don't know, it happens, which was hilarious. But anyway, nothing real crazy out of Amelia Island, but anything out of those quotes, Richie, that stuck out to you, those three ones that we brought up, or just anything at all from the week over there that you want to touch on?
Yeah, no, just the one you mentioned about Jim Phillips basically saying it, I'm not sure what's going on. But that's been the theme of Jim Phillips since he took over. It reminds me back to 2 years ago in Charlotte. I think you and Michael Sutter were there, and he basically said, we want to be one of the gated communities or something along those lines. And it was clear that the ACC was getting left behind. And when I heard those comments, I lost all faith in the ACC as far as Florida State being a member moving forward. It was clear that it was over, it's done at that point. And we're where we are now, so it's easy to say with hindsight. But back then, when he said that, it appeared to me that he took a job not knowing how bad of a job it was. And to your point, TJ, it's not necessarily that, he's been such a horrible conference commissioner, which I think he has been, but that's not the reason. It's been, he took over an impossible job. It's taking over a failing company. It's taking over a gas company when there's new restrictions saying, we're getting rid of fossil fuels or something. It was that bad. And he just was not prepared. And I think Florida State would love to stay in the ACC if it was financially reasonable, because I think they have a much easier path to the college football playoff every year in the ACC. I think they'd be there pretty much 4 out of 5 years, given the 12-team path now. But yeah, financially, it just does not make sense at all. And, you know, hearing Jim Phillips say that, and Michael Ofar, to your point, did not mince words. He's basically, you know, it was felt like it was business as usual. But at the same time, you know, Michael Alford's in his mind is like, yeah, we're out of here. Like, I'm here just to be here. He's, you know, it's like Marshawn Lynch. I'm here so I won't get fined. It was that type of mindset and vibe that I got. But, you know, hopefully this was our last ACC meetings as a member of this league, TJ.
Fingers crossed. I would not hate that at all. Yeah, Yeah, we've talked about this. We've talked about. I wonder what that would look like too. So, if Florida State announced they were leaving, and wasn't planning, you know, you probably would not see them join the new conference until, you know, a similar time. You know, all the conferences like fiscal year start over in like July, right?
I think
like,
we have August 5th. Is it August 15th? The
well, yeah, 8th? But so you
to announce, yeah, right. We would know where we're going, yeah. Yeah.
But like, say you're in a new conference going into next year, and it's July 1st is when you join that new conference, right? Let's just that's when teams are joining this conference. So like,
Jim Phillips wouldn't know.
let's assume when that's when you would join the Big Ten or the SEC or something. And what would spring meetings look like at that point? Like, would Florida awesome. State, Florida State would still be in it for technically like 2 more months. Would they go at that point? Would they be there?
I would go if they go.
Yeah, like it would be. Would they not go? And then the entire conversation, like, how awkward is it for Clemson if they're just sitting there, like, oh my god, I want to leave. So anyway, yeah,
or ACC North Carolina, who's talking behind the scenes but not doing any action yet, and boasting that the deficit they have, like, North Carolina's in a bad spot right now. Man, they did not play this well at all, TJ.
Yeah, and they're kind of screwed too with like the legislature, which we've talked about a lot on the national, like they're in a rough spot. Like Florida, yeah, people accuse the Florida attorney, or the Florida judge, and you know, Tallahassee judge or whatever. Oh, he's going to be a homer. Great, give me all the home cooking. Yeah. The North Carolina politics are not great for UNC and their, you know, prospects of trying to get the heck out of here. So, anyway, entertaining to say the least, but you know, not a, you know, I don't, again, nothing came out of it that was just absolutely like. No. Groundbreaking or earth shattering or anything like that. Something that is a big, big deal is that Florida State seems like they're gearing up for another fight. And we talked about this when all of the ACC stuff was going down and the NCAA brought the hammer down on Florida State. We talked about the penalties, what that would mean, where that would go, and what would the expectations be at that point. And I truly do believe, nobody confirmed it to me, nobody told me this, I truly do believe that if Florida State had not been fighting the battle that they were fighting against the ACC, they probably would have fought a little bit harder when the NCAA sanctions came down on them in January. Now, that was like a year and a half fight of negotiating, of investigating, of the NCAA interviewing different parties, different members of different organizations, and trying to find out exactly what went on. They move at a snail's pace, as you found out with like just anything that gets submitted to the NCAA, like waivers and stuff in the past. But that was a long, drawn-out process. And unluckily for Florida State, they were given penalties, which they accepted. And shortly after they accepted penalties, the NCAA was basically barred from imposing any recruiting or NIL violation penalties on any university in the country. They went after Tennessee, and then the states of Tennessee and Virginia sued the NCAA, basically saying, no, they cannot do this to us. Tennessee was waiting on this to come out and to happen. And their legislature, along with the legislature of Virginia, sued the NCAA. They got an immediate injunction. And I don't think that any NIL penalties violations will ever be able to be prosecuted again. I think that the NCAA will just keep losing here. Maybe this will be the downfall of the NCAA. But just before that happened, again, Florida State agreed to penalties. And at this point, Florida State's saying, whoa, let's back up here. and let's look at how all this went down. We agreed to something very minor, a coach giving a kid a ride in a car.
Ridiculous.
And the NCAA then paused investigations on Florida. They were at the same time investigating Miami for how the Jaden Rashada recruitment went down. They have a ton of information on all of how that went down between text messages and screenshots and emails and different things. I know people that are connected with it and have chatted with the NCAA about some of this stuff and been in, you know, in meetings about it at UF and other places. This was a very serious thing. And obviously Matt Baker, the Tampa Bay Times, broke that information and that investigation when it happened. But Florida State's saying like, hey, you pause that. You can't penalize anybody else. You'll never be able to penalize anybody else for NIL unless the courts like reverse decisions and then basically saying like, no, you're allowed to penalize for NIL stuff again. And Florida State's saying, yeah, we need to get umbrellaed up under that. Like, you can't penalize us and then have your penalty rights taken away and our penalties hold up. So I don't know exactly how Florida State's going to do this, but I do think they're ready to kind of challenge us a little bit. I think they'd want some of the scholarship stuff back. I think they'd want some of the in-person evaluations that got taken away back. I think they'd want to get rid of Alex Atkins's show cause. I think that they'd want really all of this stuff lifted because I just don't know that it's fair for the NCAA to be able to continue to impose those penalties. Richie, you have any thoughts on this?
The show cause actually helps Florida State with Alex Atkins, but I do agree that it should be taken away. And the fact that it was just the person who gave him a ride. We're talking about Amarius Mims. You know, everybody knows his story now. It's not, you know, any secret information. Guy we should have got, but we won't go back and revisit that. But yeah, I do think it. Going after the NCAA, every chance you get is what you should do. You know, the fact that, you know, I'm going back to when I was in school now, that Bobby Bowden does not have all of his wins over an online music course that involved regular students as well, in addition to athletes. Like, the NCAA overstepped their boundaries for years, and they were power hungry and chose to take that on. And now they're losing their power. Like, I don't know if the NCAA will be intact, you know, 5 years from now, TJ, maybe less. I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's smart to go after them because I feel like anytime you take the NCAA to the courts are going to side with you over the NCAA. And that's probably where we are right now. And in Florida State's situation, you know, they did accept the penalties, the negotiated ones, but now to see all these other universities not having to deal with the same thing, you see why they're pushing back. It's one thing if, okay, everyone's getting the same roughly general penalty. It's completely different when you accept one and now nobody gets that same penalty. Yeah, of course, you're going to fight back. And Florida State, I mean, apparently we're all in on this legal battles with anybody. So we're taking everyone to court and we're going to plant the spear and go from there.
Yeah, if you have three kids, right, and I do, and you punish one, and you say like, oh, you missed curfew, which my kids don't go out, obviously being as young as they are. But if you punish one kid for missing curfew, right, and you put a month-long ban on them, And you say you can't go out, right? Because you missed curfew this one time. That's fine. The kid agrees to it, says, okay, I won't go out for the next month. And then 2 weeks later, you say, while the penalty is happening, you say, hey, we no longer have curfew in this house.
Yeah.
That is crazy, right? Like, your other two kids are going to be like, great, sounds great. Florida and Miami are like, great, no more curfew. We are not going to get in trouble for the way that we cheated with Jaden Rashada. But your first kid that got punished for missing curfew is like, how did you just eliminate curfew after I am serving? I'm serving a penalty for the curfew. Like, how can you possibly do that? I would think the kid would say, okay, I served my... Florida State has already served plenty of penalties on this. There have been some evaluation days they missed.
They missed the first week in the spring portal.
They've missed some stuff already. They've already served some penalties. So if you're that kid who served, you know, curfew, you served your punishment for that 2 weeks while there was still a curfew. But to have to serve your punishment afterward, after there no longer is a curfew, would be crazy. And I think that's where Florida State's at right now. They're saying, like, no, this is dumb for us to have to serve this. Here's what I wonder, Richie. What if you just did it, right? You're supposed to be at, what, 82 scholarships, 83, or is it 80? I don't know if it's five over 2 years or five each year, whatever. Just say it's five each year. I don't know if that's the case. I just can't remember. But say it's five each year because fives are easier than twos or threes, right? So say you're supposed to be at 80 scholarships this year. What if you just do 80? Or sorry, you're supposed to be at 80, right? What if you just do 85?
Do it.
What can they do?
No,
they
can't.
They can't enforce penalties.
Exactly. And the college football playoff is not run by the NCAA. It's not like the college basketball that March Madness, the NCAA runs that, right? The college football playoff could essentially say, nah, you know, Florida State, they're, you know, 11-2, won the ACC. I know they're over your scholarship limit, NCAA, but they're going to bring in TV ratings. Yeah, we're going to put them in the playoff. I would do it. I don't see why not. And I think there's already some of that going on where some players who are not technically on scholarship are getting paid fully for their tuition, room and board and meals and all that stuff with the Battle's End and whatnot. Probably not supposed to say that, but everyone knows what's going on. Let's not, you know, try and deny it. But yeah, I would say just do it. What's it matter? Because the more that schools and universities, especially with the clout that Florida State has, the more we push back at the NCAA, the less relevant they become. And they're already pretty damn not relevant, TJ.
Yeah, I think I wonder how far they go. I wonder, you know, honestly, what they should do, in my opinion, is not spend any more money on legal battles. And they should literally just let Ashley Moody and the state of Florida. I mean, this is it. This is the whole thing right here. I'm giving them the playbook. I literally just saw, well, I won't say who, but I saw some people just in Tampa just now. I wish I would have thought of this, but I didn't have this all day IPA yet while I was talking with some people. But they literally just tell Ashley Moody to sue the NCAA, just like Tennessee and Virginia did, to put an immediate injunction on all penalties that are from NIL-related violations. If you can't impose new penalties, how can you continue to impose old penalties on NIL violations? Yeah. So the state of Florida and Ashley Moody sue the NCAA, and a judge, the NCAA, it's like Jerry West in the finals, right? Like they never, great player, never wins. That's what it would be. The NCAA never wins in court. And so if you're the state of Florida, you just do this. You just sue the NCAA for all existing penalties to be wiped out. And that's it. Florida State doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to spend any more money. Florida State doesn't have to get into really two legal battles at once, suing over this or that. The state of Florida sues, and that's it. That's the end of it. It's done. Move on. We're over it. I think that's what needs to happen. I don't know if it happens or not, but it's what should happen.
And I think the courts, you know, in today's climate, they're going to side with the, you know, the smaller entity, so to speak. So they're going to side with the university over the NCAA. Like that's just going to happen. That's what's going to happen. And I think that's an easy win. But to your point, there's a reason for Florida State to get involved in another legal battle. You know, we have plenty of money lined up between the stadium renovations, the IPF, Mike Norvell making $10 million a year now. But to your point, let Ashley Moody take that on. And I don't care what your political affiliation is. She's been on our side, and let's support her for now for whatever she's doing, because that's where we're at. In Tennessee and Virginia have done a phenomenal job as far as, you know, setting the precedent, saying, no, we're not going to do that. Because for too long, the NCAA has been able to say, we're doing this. You did this. You're going to penalize for this. No, Tennessee, Virginia said, we're not really cool with that. So we're going to sue you guys, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's asinine to think that Florida State shouldn't fight back. Again, I'd rather the state of Florida be the ones to actually do this. But yeah. I mean, this helps both public universities. I mean, this helps really. I mean, it helps UFC,
every university in Florida. You know, even Miami, it helps.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it'd be huge, you know, for Florida State to get some of that off, right? It's very minor, but I think there's like a 1% of your revenue, right? Florida State's revenue. Mm-hmm. Didn't we just see numbers of like, is it What is it yearly? What's the revenue year? $175 million? I know you just sent over that. I mean, that's $17 million, right? That you would have to pay as a penalty to the NCAA. How about not? How about we don't do that?
No.
You know? I mean, to me, that's worth it enough right there. Let's screw them, man. So, yeah, good on Florida State, though, for fighting back. And good on, you know, Florida State for getting out in front of that. Maybe we'll get – I don't know if he'd really be able to comment about it if it's active, but we'll try and get Alfred on soon and talk about that. But, shout out to Florida State for saying screw you, NCAA. So, all right, moving on just a little bit from that. Hey, I'll give some love to Garnet and Gold while we're on here. GarnetandGold.com. Hey, I saw them doing some stuff with the Keep Climbing Foundation. I really did mean to ask Mike about that tonight, but they did some stuff and are trying to help out with Mike Norvell's charity foundation and help people that have been displaced or impacted by the storm and the severe weather that's gone through Tallahassee. So big shout out to Garnet and Gold. Again, you know, people ask like, how can you help if you're not in Tallahassee? They took some canned goods and different things that, you know, people would, you know, dry goods and things that people would need, you know, after a storm like that, just, you know, deodorant, toothbrush, toothpaste, stuff that people would need. And, you know, there's Keep Climbing Foundation is a website that you can go check out. And you can donate online. Of course, appreciate Garnet and Gold for always being like first in the community to step up and help with things like this. If you are shopping for FSU gear, I really don't care what your reasoning for shopping other places is, but you need to stop and only shop at Garnet and Gold, not only because they're the best and they support our show, but because they step up in times like this. And honestly, nobody else in the community does it quite as well as they do. You know, Madso does a really good job too. They don't even pay us to say that, but shout out to Madso for all that they do. But Garnet and Gold does a great job. You can get 15% off of all of your FSU gear there at garnetandgold.com by using the code NOSLAW, NOSLAW. If you're out of town, order online, make sure that you order $75 or more so that you can get free shipping. Not hard to do with Nike and Columbia products that they sell and more. But GarnetandGold.com, NOSLAW, NOSLAW. Okay, speaking of $75 or more, Richie, are you paying, which level of the NCAA video game are you paying for? Are you paying for the base one, the middle one, or the top one that comes with Madden?
Man, this game is going to cost me like $600 because I have to buy a new system. And I'm debating between an Xbox or PS5. I'm probably going to go PS5, but I'll probably get the deluxe one. I mean, why not, right? I haven't had to pay for this game since 2014, so might as well just go all in now. Shout out Roydell Williams. Had a nice little spin move against, who was it, Cal? I think it was.
Rival Cal.
The longtime ACC rivals, Cal, Florida State. That's why we need out of this forsaken conference. But yeah, man, I'm excited. Like, it comes out July 19th. We should see if they want to sponsor the show, because I'm going to, if I can get a free game out of it, that'll save us both $70, DJ. Or $150 if we go deluxe.
So I'm going the middle level. I don't care about Madden. The deluxe just basically comes with Madden with it.
I don't care about Madden. Yeah.
I'm going the middle level, $100. I'm not Harlan. I can't afford the big one because I've got to get a system as well. Again, not
Harlan's getting it on Xbox and PS5 on the deluxe level for both.
Yeah. Wealth, generational. That's what happens. We work a little bit with CJ Wilson. Like those guys just, it's different kind of bread over there. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited. We're going to spend 30 minutes talking about a video game, but yeah, a game that I played a ton. We're not even on video. I was going to hold up the video game that I still have that I still play, the NCAA 14 video game. Hey, underrated thing that I love about this video game is that it's EA Sports 25, or College Football 25. It's not NCAA 25 because screw the NCAA. So I'm still on that bandwagon big time. I'm just glad they renamed it to like EA Sports 25 or College Football 25 or whatever. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, Harlan just confirmed via text he's getting deluxe just because he has the money, is what he said.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Nice to be rich. excited for the game to drop. It was cool to see Roydell get the love there. A little disappointed they didn't have the Osceola throwing the spear. I'll let him live
though. Well, they had to show the Wake Forest motorcycle.
Yeah, stupid. Who knows if they'll even have a program in
all 27 of their fans. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go around the horn. Let's get out of here. Florida State baseball wins their series against Georgia Tech, ends up with the 5 seed. They'll play Tuesday and then again on Friday. We'll probably do some baseball content on the YouTube sometime this week. Softball plays in about 15 minutes, so 6 p.m. You probably already know the result if you're listening to this now. Excited for them. Hopefully they can just take care of it in the first game. If not, they do have 2 chances to win 1 game to end up going to Norman and facing an Oklahoma team that's a little bit down this year, but still really, really good. A rematch of the national championship last year. Women's golf is competing at the NCAA championships. Men's golf will play at the NCAA championships next. Actually later this week. Other than that, I think that's about it. I think that's kind of our around the horn quickly. We'll talk a little bit more on some recruiting stuff that's coming up throughout the next couple of weeks. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. Richie, any shout outs?
Yeah, shout out Brooks. You know, a rough Saturday cost him probably his 6th major, but played really well Thursday, Friday, and today. Disappointing, but I'm going to go watch the last of it. There's about 6 holes left for the leaders, so I'm excited.
I'm with it. Shout out again, kid's 2nd birthday today, so shout out to him. He doesn't listen, so I don't know why I waste my time doing that, but shout him out. All right, thank you guys for tuning in.
I saw his garbage truck cake. I like that.
Dude, he's obsessed with the garbage truck. Like Tuesdays when the trash man comes around here. So the trash guy comes at like 4 a.m. on Friday, so we never see him. But Tuesdays when the trash guy comes at like noon, it is like the highlight of his week. Like we run outside when we hear it. He's like waving to him. We'll either give him water or they'll honk their horn or whatever. Like it's a huge deal in this house. He loves seeing the trash truck. We got him a garbage truck.
What a cake for a 2-year-old. I love it.
Also, kids don't know any better, so we stopped buying like cheap cakes at Publix. This is a life hack. Kids don't know any, so we just get a red velvet cake. Because it's way better than just like a regular, you know, or whatever kind you like. They do carrot cake, they do chocolate, you know, like whatever. We do a red velvet cake with cream cheese frosting as opposed to just a regular white cake. And we like that so much more. So if you like the finer things in life, get a red velvet cake for your kids next time. All right, that's all I got. We'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully you enjoy the cake talk and the garbage truck talk. I didn't know we'd talk about Miami and Florida here, but the garbage truck fit it well. So all right, that's all I got. It's my dad joke for the day. Go Noles.